If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Happy 9/11, baby. Happy 9/11, baby. 9/11 can be fun. I'm your 9/11 daddy. Eat my 9/11 pussy. Suck my 9/11 titties. It's 9/11. Happy 9/11, daddy. Happy 9/11, daddy. Planes into the buildings was scary. I wanna dance with the Israelis. Happy 9/11, daddy. NORAD, why'd you fail me? You gotta say in Hail Marys. 9/11, I can't get enough. 9/11. 9/11, 9/11, 9/11, 9/11, 9/11, 9/11, 9/11, 9/11. You fill my cup. I wanna fill my cup with 9/11. I can't get enough. My 9/11 pussy, lick my 9/11 titties. 9/11, fuck me 9/11, fuck me 9/11. I want a DP with the North Tower and the South Tower, ass to ass with the North Tower while it's on fire. My pussy hit building 7, and that's why it fell down. My hot wet mouth hit building 7, and I gargle building 7's balls in my mouth. Arrgh! Come on, baby, it's a hot day in mid-September. Happy 9/11, baby. I'm your 9/11 daddy. Eat my 9/11 pussy. Solo, somebody. First responders and everyone who lost someone. We can heal each other through music. We can heal this whole planet through music. We can heal it by sucking each other's cocks. And even if you have a pussy, we eat your pussy, because it's 9/11 and you deserve to get your pussy eaten on 9/11. While you watch the towers go down again. It's such a beautiful time to be an American. If this offends you, then you need to eat somebody's pussy. My friend's father was vaporized on 9/11. What are you gonna do? Give it up for the band. The musicians will save the world. This is a Tiny Desk concert. I've been Chapel Roan, and I want to thank you all for this. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you guys so much. We're going to roll right into our next song here. We are Erica Kirk. We carry all the merch. Settle in, everyone. Settle in. Settle in. Settle down. Thanks to the band, the house band, opening the show with a strong number to heal. Music is power. And thank you all for taking that journey with us and being with us. And because the country feels good. It feels united and it feels strong. I don't care what anyone says. 9/11's the one day we can all put our differences aside and just remember who we are. We're the United States of America. For good or ill, let's not focus on the negatives. Maybe we did it ourselves. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? I'm sick of hearing that. I'm sick of that discourse. By the way, who attacked us and why? Did we know it was coming? Did we engineer it? Whatever. Enough. It's the same thing with October 7th. They just came out and said that Netanyahu had all these warnings. So what? So what? Let's not dig. Let's not dig. Let's just live. Can we live? We don't want to start. Oh, look, the rock. We pick up the rock. And there's, it's a snake under it. Nope. Leave the rock. Let everybody live. I'm sure Netanyahu did everything he could to prevent this Hamas, because he doesn't want to do what he's doing now. Clearing out Gaza and doing a whole AI smart city. He doesn't want to do that. He has to do this. He doesn't want to do it. Like us, and we didn't want to go into all those countries in the Middle East. We had to. So just like 9/11, just like us, this is a necessity. These are wars of necessity. We had to do it. There was no other way. We didn't have another choice. So I don't think we should get hung up on these, whatever he got. You know, the people were calling him. The president of the United Arab Emirates raised the alarm directly with Netanyahu during a 45-minute conversation. He probably zoned out. I zone out when a conversation is 45 minutes. I start thinking about things I might want to eat later in the day. The warning was apparently never passed to Israel's top security officials because you get distracted. You get distracted and things happen. Okay? Things happen. Somebody's going on and on and on. The president of the UAE, blah, 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 blah. Hamas is going to, they're going to do this big event, blah, 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 blah. And you're thinking about other things, you know? Like, why does sage green seem like a good idea as a paint color, but when it goes on a wall, it's not great? And then October 7th happens. You go, what? And then somebody goes, I told you that was going to happen. You go, I was not paying attention. He might have, Netanyahu might have attention deficit disorder. Have you heard of this? What this is called ADHD. And it's and you see the kids with it. They're hyper. You ever see these kids that are running around? My friend has a kid, heavily autistic, screams and yells and stuff. And she goes, he has ADHD. I'm like, well, I think he's got a couple more things than that. But, you know, he's always like, you know. And I think this Netanyahu, in my estimation, has ADD. And that's what he should say. He should come out and tell people, I have ADD. So I'm getting all these warnings about this seismic event that Hamas is planning, this generational thing they're trying to do. And my mind is darting all over the place thinking about a million different things. And he cannot attain a level of focus. You know, they were telling him it's going to be the mother of all surprises, a terrifying operation. But again, he's not able to retain it. A lot of people don't retain. This is true. So everyone's like jumping on him like, oh, even Hillary Clinton, this witch, came out and said maybe he didn't let it happen to solidify his position. Find her on Meet the Press saying maybe he was trying to solidify his position with this or something. Weird, weird for Hillary to come out and say that. Haaretz also reported that Egyptian intelligence chief Abbas Kamel separately contacted Netanyahu around the same period to warn that Hamas was planning something unusual, a terrifying operation. He's probably thinking of where he's taking his wife on their anniversary. And he's getting all this info, and Netanyahu's like, I'm thinking of taking, where are me and my lovely wife, Sarah, going to go for our anniversary? We got to start seeing them as people and realize that actually they're thinking about other things and they are not completely focused on people, presidents of other countries calling them and telling them that a terrifying operation is being planned on their heavily surveilled border. Here's Hillary Clinton, by the way. Oh, Morning Joe. I thought it was Meet the Press. And I like Joe Scarborough, and I don't care that they found that dead woman in his office years ago. Hillary Clinton here is throwing Netanyahu under the bus. Really, it's kind of wild. Or she's throwing him under the paraglider. Hillary Clinton here on Morning Joe throwing Netanyahu under the paraglider, saying basically, it's weird. Listen to Hillary Clinton. She's insinuating here that maybe Netanyahu knew more than he says he knew, which, of course, I don't think that. I think he has ADHD. Which is a real thing, and there's medicine for it. That's the good news. There's medication. Hillary Clinton, take it away.
Attention, and you know it also requires the United States to exercise tough love. You know, not rejection and not total agreement. And look, I have said repeatedly, I love Israel and I hate Netanyahu's government and his policies. I love America, and I hate Trump's government and policies. I think it's bad in the first case for Israel, what's happening, and I think it's really bad for the United States, what's happening. So I think we've got to be very clear of the messages we send. Hopefully the Israeli people, especially after this bombshell that came out in the Israeli press, where Netanyahu had been literally called by Sheikh Mohammed, MBZ, from UAE, and warned that Hamas was planning something. And either he didn't believe it, or he wanted to see what they could plan so that then he could come down hard and it would enhance his position. I don't know what his thinking was. But the bottom line, talk about a failure of imagination. This was a failure of leadership. Mm-hmm. This was a failure of, you know, protecting the people of Israel. He'd been told what was going to happen. So if the Israelis want to vote for that again, then I think the United States has to take a very tough position.
All right. Hillary Clinton, everyone, friend of the show, long time, you know, Hillary basically saying she gets into this very uncomfortable territory with her hand. She goes, I don't even want to say it. If you saw that, she goes, he might have been seeing what they could plan so he could come down hard. That's what she said. That's Hillary Clinton on Morning Joe. That's not somebody and some lunatic on Discord. That's Hillary Clinton on Morning Joe saying, maybe he was trying to see what they could plan so he could come down hard. Well, that means that Hillary Clinton, the presidential candidate from the Democratic Party, the wife of our former president, Bill Clinton, is suggesting on NBC that the prime minister of Israel might have, her words, been seeing what they could plan so then he could come down hard, which means she kind of stopped herself from saying it, but she was kind of saying maybe he let it happen. And as a precursor to do everything he's doing now, again, this is Hillary Clinton saying that. That surprises me. By the way, she looks great. Hillary Clinton looks great. I know she's old, but she looks good. Can she run? I'm all about her now. if this is the new thing she's doing. If she's going to say, yeah, this was a false flag, he did it. If she's out there going, Netanyahu did it, she might try to run for president. Maybe that's what, in the Clinton, in her mind, she's never done. Even though she's ran a bunch, it hasn't worked, but she's never out. A friend of mine told me that once, and I think that's a good way to think about these people. She doesn't feel like she's out. So she's there going, yeah, that guy might have done it. But, you know, she's a boss bitch. And I don't know, what's Trump? Trump's not doing anything. Trump's not unraveling the deep state or whatever the hell. So put her in at this point. What's the fucking difference? She's coming out harder against Netanyahu than Trump. She's slamming the guy. She's essentially saying he let it happen. She's singing a Morning Joe. She wants back in the game. She wants back in the game. And maybe she'll get back in the game. I don't know. Neurogum is the gum that Benjamin Netanyahu should have been taking to give him the focus to have understood the warning from the president of the United Arab Emirates about the attack Hamas was planning. This episode is brought to you by Neuro, makers of the world's first smart and sour mints, okay? So the Neuro mints, it's mint. The Neuro mints are the thing that every world leader has when they're being warned by multiple intelligence agencies about an impending attack. It comes in sour apples, citrus, and berry. Perfect for the exact moment you've been doom scrolling and realize you have to be a functional person in 12 minutes and you're running a country and the people there are depending on you to keep them safe. Neuro Energy and Focus is powered by natural green tea, caffeine, L-theanine for calm focus, and vitamin B12 and B6 for better mood and metabolism. No sugar, no aspartame, no crash, which means I don't feel like I need to apologize to my body afterwards. It's clean, effective, and has better for you ingredients. Neuro also offers caffeine-free options for all-day wellness and support. Neuro's memory and focus gum are made with American ginseng to support mental clarity, minus the jitters. For a limited time, you can get 20% off your first order at neurogum.com by using code TIM. That's neurogum.com and use code TIM for 20% off your first order. You can also find Neuro at CVS and Amazon. I love Helix. Truly, everyone that stays with me goes, these mattresses are the best. Where did you get them? And I always say Helix. It is free shipping, seamless delivery. Helix delivers your mattress right to your door. They don't charge you any money to do it. 120-night sleep trial and a limited lifetime warranty. The Happy with Helix guarantee. Rest easy with seamless returns and exchanges. I believe it's a Midnight Deluxe, but there's all kinds of mattresses. You can take a quiz. Helix will tell you exactly what kind of mattress. They're award-winning. They're the most awarded mattress brand, tested and reviewed by experts like Forbes and Wired. You have a Helix, right? No. Fuck off. Why? But it is cheap. Why wouldn't you get a Helix? It's not expensive. Yeah, I should. Get a fucking Helix. I've told you that. Go to helixsleep.com/TimD. helixsleep.com/TimD. 27% site-wide Labor Day sale. It's a 27% off site-wide Labor Day sale. Folks, this is affordable. Get a Helix mattress. This is one of the most cost-effective ways to get the greatest product on the market. Make sure you enter our show name after checkout so they know we sent you. HelixSleep.com, Tim D.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Haley Bailey. Okay, I need to tell you about something. I just got YouTube Premium. It's got tons of awesome features like offline downloads, so I can download my favorite videos before I travel and watch them whenever I don't have Wi-Fi. Because we all know airplane Wi-Fi is the worst. I get ad-free, I get background play, and there's like a ton more in there. You should try it. If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Try it now for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium.
If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At CAPS, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
All right, get her out of here. But we find this all interesting. You know, obviously we're celebrating today the 25th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, which was the biggest event of my childhood. It was the first time that I became really aware of American foreign policy. During the 90s, there was Kosovo. Who care? It was Clinton. It was the blowjob. It was Lewinsky. We had great movies. We had great television. We actually existed in a world where everything wasn't political. Everything wasn't political. Every single piece of art was not analyzed through the lens of politics. People could actually, you know, enjoy something without worrying about exactly what connotation, what message it sent, what does it say about you to like something like that. It was a renaissance of great film and great music and great television. And we didn't think about foreign policy. We didn't think about the outside world. And then 9/11 happened, and wow. I was in 11th grade. I was in Mrs. Rice's history class in Holy Trinity Diocesan High School in Long Island. And I sat behind this girl named Katie and or Gina. I forget which one. Gina was English. I think Katie was history. And I never had a pen or a pencil or anything. I go, give me a pencil, you know. I never was prepared for class because even back then I knew it was all bullshit. What am I preparing for? So I could go to St. John's? Who cares? So I never cared. I was high, whatever. And I would sit there, and then the teacher came in, and then they went on the loudspeaker, and I saw a friend of mine crying in the hall because his dad had died in 9/11, which is very sad. I didn't know him well, but he was a guy we knew. And then I remember Bush came on TV and he was like, we're going shopping tomorrow. It's business as usual. Go out there and fucking. And it would, then the jets would fly over and you felt good. You felt good. That's what people need to understand. It's never been that good again. And it never will be. It never will be. It was the greatest time in this country's history in the weeks and months after 9/11. And I don't shy away from that, and I won't apologize for it. And anyone who lived through it knows exactly what I'm talking about. The food tasted better. The food tasted better in the weeks and months after 9/11. You went to candlelight vigils. You know, you became engaged, civically engaged. Who are we going to kill? Who did it? Who's getting it? People would sing songs. My neck's always been red. My collar's still. They'll demonetize us for singing that fucking song. But whatever, it was Toby Keith, RIP. And we had a purpose. We had, you know, this was history. This was real shit for the first time in our teenage lives. And in the years after 9/11, the interest rates dropped and everybody bought houses and lived in big houses and everyone swam in big swimming pools. And we supported the troops and we supported our country and it was a great time. And it really was the only time in my adult life that this country, outside of the 90s, which were lovely, but it was the only time in my adult life that the country made sense. It made sense. We had a common enemy. We had a common purpose. We knew who the bad guys were. We knew who the good guys were. We were in a war of ideas. It was a war of cultures, a culture of freedom and democracy and a liberated group of people. And then there was a culture that was a fundamentalist religious culture and an oppressive culture that radicalized men and abused women. And those people came over and did this. And so we had to open their societies up. We had to free them and liberate them and allow them to live as we live. And that the world would be a safer place because there was no other option. And Thomas Friedman of the New York Times had a book called Longitudes and Attitudes. And that was about that the world was coming together because of technology, because of trade, because of immigration, that there were not going to be any borders. There was not going to be any walls. And we were participating in a global society in which we needed to take the active role and export our virtues, our values to the Islamic world and to places like Iran and North Korea, closed societies that were recipes for radicalization. And those people would come here and they would commit acts of violence and terrorism. And the only way to stop that was to live in a global society where we had a rule of law that was respected and that we had pluralism and we had religious tolerance and freedom and we had respect for individual rights and liberties. And that was the juice we were all drinking. That's the juice we were all drinking. That's the juice I was drinking. I was a big supporter of the Iraq war. I was a big supporter of the war in Afghanistan. I thought it was a good idea for people in those parts of the world to be liberated, to be free, to have the right to, participate in their societies, women and people that were not adherents of a certain fundamentalist sect of Islam. I thought everybody should have the right to believe the things they want to believe. And that was the pitch. And it was a strong pitch. And all we needed to do was go over there and get rid of these oppressive leaders. And then all the other people in those societies would be like, this is now good. We're good. And we would build shopping malls and we would build movie theaters and we would build banks and we would build houses and it would be happily ever after. And everybody would thank us. They would go, hey, thank you for this was really cool that you guys did this. This was like really, really nice of you. And we had no idea. There's a better way. And I know it sounds like I'm simplifying it, but this was the picture that was painted. And all the smartest people that went to all the best schools were indoctrinated with this. It was shoved down their throats, and they regurgitated it in the journals of opinion and all the major newspapers and on television and cable news and network news, which was a big thing back then. And all the lectures and all the, foreign policy experts and all the think tanks, everybody was aligned on this new world that we were living in, where the United States of America had to take a leadership role. We had to topple these regimes and we had to open up these societies, not only for their benefit, but for ours. And yeah, we get paid a little bit, a little bit of oil, a couple of minerals, a little bit of lithium ion, some of the poppies. It's not free. We're not going to open your societies up for free. We break us off a little bit. Give us a couple of bucks. But it's all going to be chill. It's all going to be good. Get up President Bush talking about this, because President Bush has said we've learned the wrong lessons from 9/11. President Bush, George W. Bush, the president during 9/11, who ignored some of the same warnings that Netanyahu got. He was like, you guys, you've learned the wrong lessons. You don't want closed societies. You don't want to limit. You got to go out there in the world and you got to free people. That's what we exist to do, is to free oppressed people. And this, by the way, in the 90s, no one really believed this. The Cold War had ended. We were in the unipolar moment. The United States of America was the sole superpower on Earth. We were in skirmishes here, skirmishes there, things going on in the Balkans. The CIA was doing the fuckery it always does in Latin America and whatnot. I'm not trying to minimize it, but there was no troops on the ground, big commitments. There was no attacks on the homeland. There was no new foreign policy doctrine, the Bush doctrine. We will draw no distinction between, the leaders the terrorists and the leaders, the countries that harbor them, the axis of evil. It was none of that. That all came post 9/11. The 90s was kind of, this was America, peak America was the 90s. You could afford a house and your kids weren't in a foreign country killing people and torturing them. But so here is George W. Bush and Condoleezza Rice, and they are, this is a big deal, this 25th anniversary. And so these two people are sitting on a stage and at the George W. Bush Presidential Center, and they are discussing the lessons of 9/11 that we, the people, we've not learned the lessons of 9/11. We need to learn them. We learned them at one point, but now we forgot them because we have ADD, like Netanyahu. We have ADD, ADHD. It was ADD when I grew up. Now it's ADHD. So here is President George W. Bush and Condoleezza Rice talking about the lessons that we have forgotten from 9/11.
You really started out, of course, making the case about Afghanistan and the plight of women in Afghanistan.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Or
no.
Did you make that
yes.
case?
No.
Or did somebody else?
Well, I was trying
case?
To give a radio address, and yes. Laura elbowed me out of the way, and she gave a radio address that spoke to the Afghan women.
Okay. Stop it for a minute. So now you have to remember this was about women. This was about the rights of women. This entire period in American history, this is about the rights of women. George W. Bush is one of the great feminist icons of our time. And he invaded Afghanistan because, you know, women were, and they were, they were oppressed because Afghanistan's like an ancient country of tribal warlords. And women were not killing it at the time. And they were being oppressed. And, you know, so here's George W. Bush talking about the foreign policy, which is a like massive failure. It was a huge debacle. But it started out with the very real concern that he had and him and his wife had for the women of Afghanistan. This is why America acts in the world primarily, is to help women all over the world. So here again, take it away, George W. Bush. I won't interrupt now. I want to watch. Roll this back. I want to watch the entire thing, and I will not interrupt. Just remember, and there's Condoleezza Rice here, who is the national security advisor during the 9/11 attacks, and George W. Bush reminding her it's all about women.
You really started out, of course, making the case about Afghanistan and the plight of women in Afghanistan.
Absolutely.
Or did you make that case, or did somebody else?
Well, I was trying to give a radio address, and Laura elbowed me out of the way, and she gave a radio address that spoke to the Afghan women.
Which was...
And it had a huge impact, by the way.
Huge impact. Do you think that we are falling away from that understanding, that part of the challenge that we faced on September 11th still is with us, and that there are free and unfree? Are we falling away from that?
Yeah, absolutely, it seems to me. You know, our nation occasionally goes through isolationist periods where the attitude is, we've got too many problems at home, therefore who cares what happens overseas, which really means to me they just don't pay attention to the lesson of 9/11, because what happens overseas matter to our national security at home. And yes, I'm afraid so. And to the extent that people are struggling against tyranny, it makes sense. We don't have to send troops, but we ought to at least stand with them and stand beside them, because this is what we went through 250 years ago. And again, it's a belief that everybody wants to be free. And we saw that in Afghanistan. People say, well, they don't want to be free. They've been, you know, they don't know the difference. Of course they know the difference. Young girls going to school for the first time in their lives knew the difference. Women becoming doctors and professors know the difference between a free society and a tyrannical society. And sadly, those women who began to realize their full potential no longer have a chance to realize their full potential.
Right. Right. Yeah. What happened in Afghanistan? What happened to these the women with the potential? Interesting. The Taliban came back to power. Huh. Huh. The group of people that we threw out 20 years ago has found their way back into power in Afghanistan. The Afghani people like the Taliban. I don't know how to break the news to him. Maybe not all of them do, but a lot of the people in Afghanistan seem not to have a tremendous issue with the Taliban. It's kind of the way they live. They've been doing it like that for a while. Now, I understand it's our job to go there and modernize that ancient tribal society and teach them about iPhones and, you know, OnlyFans or, you know, talk to them about probiotics and peptides. And, you know, it's our job to tell them about Erewhon. And I get it. I'm hip to it, but it just doesn't seem possible. We've tried this. We're actually like really bad at it. We're so bad at it. And we create such instability and chaos wherever we go that they want the Taliban back. They go, let's just bring in the Taliban. Because these people are fucking nuts. Now, again, I appreciate George W. Bush's passion for women in the world. This is something that I think is laudable. It's a laudable goal. It doesn't work. Going into a society with no democratic institutions, where people are adherents of a fundamentalist sect of Islam, which is a religion that in the West is having issues in certain countries with Western values. And those are kind of moderate Muslims compared to the Taliban. So the idea that, like, we need to be... But you know what Afghanistan is now? It's a place where YouTubers go. That's what Afghanistan is. YouTubers go to Afghanistan and make videos and get millions of views. They dress up like the top. This is what happened. We invaded. People died. Can you imagine? People died for years in the fucking rocky terrain of Afghanistan, the punishing mountain desert of Afghanistan, so that 25 years later, YouTubers can dress up with the Taliban and take photos. This is where YouTubers are going. Can you get up Afghanistan YouTuber? I don't know if we can play their content. We'll probably get in trouble. But, like, I see this quite often. Where, like, a young guy, a young, like, travel blogger guy, a YouTuber kid will go into Afghanistan and he's, like, hanging out with the Taliban. And he's dressed like, and they're walking around and they're herding sheep. And they have Kalashnikov. They have the guns, you know. Some of them are ours, probably. And it's fun. Can you imagine if these soldiers, if we brought them back from the dead and said, and look what's going on now. So we've accomplished nothing unless that was the goal. Unless that was the goal. So that we could create a space where YouTubers could shoot content. That's all we've done. That's what we've done. There has been, yeah, play this.
We're having lunch.
Look at this.
For the Talibros. Okay, cool.
Yeah, the Talibros.
Like this. So what do I do?
dip it?
They're doing food content. This looks good. What spice is that?
All right, boys. Wow.
Yeah.
Delicious.
They're doing they're doing food reviews with the Taliban. This is what we accomplished, by the way. Years and years, trillions of dollars, people have died, and we've got people doing cooking videos with the Taliban now. This is where, that's what we've got. So congratulations. Thank you, George Bush and Condoleezza Rice. What a phenomenal, you see these white guys that go in and they're like surfer bros from Southern California. Like, bro, we're here with the Taliban. They were totally cool with us. And the Taliban will, you know, they go to the airport, they go through customs. The Taliban's like, what the hell are you doing here? And they go, what's up, bro? Just come in. They stay in the hotels and they hang out. And this is what we've done. That's all we've accomplished. Nothing. And we stole a bunch of fucking minerals. And we stole a bunch of heroin, some poppies. And that's what we got going on. So I don't know what the hell, George, I mean, I don't know what the hell he's even talking about. We're going to, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to invade it again? He's like, we don't have to commit troops. But we have to stand with them. What the hell does that mean? Tweet at them? But what it means is have our intelligence agencies go in there with money, with these NGOs, and try to get shit going. Try to get shit popping off. When you run a small business, you don't just do the job. You're also hiring the manager, the payroll department, and the benefits team, usually all before lunch. Gusto takes a few of those off your plate quickly and seamlessly. Be honest, there's probably one task on your list you constantly push to next week because it's just so tedious. Gusto is an online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all in one, remote friendly, and incredibly easy to use, so you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. Automatic payroll tax filing, simple direct deposits, health benefits, commuter benefits, workers' comp, 401k, you name it. Gusto makes it simple and has options for nearly every budget. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/Dylan and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/Dylan, gusto.com/Dylan. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest personal injury law firm. Their fee is free unless they win. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. With over $30 billion recovered for over 500,000 clients, Morgan & Morgan has a proven track record of fighting to get you full and fair compensation. If you were injured by the negligence of another, you deserve to be paid. The best part about Morgan & Morgan is that they offer free case evaluation, and if hired, their fee is free unless they win. One time, this is true, my friend's mother was in a Dunkin' Donuts on Long Island, okay? And they gave her a coffee, and it was so scalding hot, and the lid was not properly on the cup of coffee. And it gave her third-degree burns all over her face. And it was so traumatic that she killed herself. She took her own life. She took her own life in her house. She shot herself. No one knew she had a gun. She didn't. She bought a gun and she shot herself in her bed because of the third degree burns on her face. And her children found her in the bed and her face. She had blown her head off. Half of her face was gone and it was all over the bed. And the dog was eating her brain. And they got a good settlement because they called Morgan & Morgan. If you or a loved one is ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. Go to forthepeople.com/TIM, forthepeople.com/TIM, or dial pound law from your phone. Dial pound law from your phone. This is a paid advertisement.
If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. It's destroying athlete, creator, and YouTube maxer. YouTube Premium enhances how I use YouTube with awesome features like offline downloads so I can download my favorite training videos before I hit the gym. So no Wi-Fi doesn't turn leg day into loading day. Plus, I get ad-free videos, background play, and so much more. YouTube Premium is like YouTube got some extra gains. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Haley Bailey. Okay, I need to tell you about something. I just got YouTube Premium. It's got tons of awesome features like offline downloads, so I can download my favorite videos before I travel and watch them whenever I don't have Wi-Fi. Because we all know airplane Wi-Fi is the worst. I get ad-free, I get background play, and there's like a ton more in there. You should try it. If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. So try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime. That's a mouthful.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAP sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons. From tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond, every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Anthropic Insider, again, I gotta be honest with you. I as much as I do agree that AI is going to kill us all, I hate a rat. And we are a country of rats. So this Anthropic rat, I resigned from Anthropic today. I spent the last 3 years doing pre-training research at both OpenAI and Anthropic. Neither company is acting responsibly. They are racing straight to self-improving superintelligence and gambling with our lives. More thoughts below. Yeah. So what? I understand that we should rein these companies in. It's not going to happen. It's not going. That's not how the movie is going to end. That's not the third act of the film. The third act of the film, and I'm not here to depress people. You know, I'm that's why we did a song up front. But I'm not here to depress. They are going to. We are. We're dead. They're going to kill us all. That's the movie. Have you ever seen a film? It's not. We don't, like, at the end of this all go, like, you know, this super intelligence is actually, it has a lot of negative implication. No, no. Yes, I could yell here about it and say, stop building the data centers or whatever the hell I do. They don't care. This is not a democracy, and no one cares what you think. Sorry. I'm not trying to be dispiriting, but I'm just saying, they've made this decision. They made the decision. Just like after 9/11, when they started moving money out of the country, and they where did this $2 trillion go? We don't know where this money went. All this money at the Pentagon that disappeared. When they started moving money off the books, they started stealing all the money. After 9/11, there was nothing you could do about it. Couldn't do anything about it. You would talk to someone in a deli. You'd go, they fucking lost $2 trillion, these fucks. Bleh. Make an egg and cake. You know, yes, they're going to do not underestimate the power of this technology. These will soon be superhuman systems that can hack anything, revolutionize any field overnight, and acquire real power and resources. We have all witnessed the progress. But here's the thing. Yes, I don't want any of this to happen, but we are also a little curious. This is the problem. We're a little curious because we kind of want it to happen. Life's gotten a little pointless. People wait online in the West Village 4 hours for a pizza because it has aged balsamic and burrata. They saw it on Instagram. What are we doing on the planet anymore? Even though this will be horrific, it is a little interesting. At least it's something interesting. Nothing else is really interesting. Let's be honest. Everything else is kind of shit. How many holes on your body can you fuck? You know, how many genders can you invent and then become? I mean, how self-actualized can you be? How many peptides can you take? I mean, you know, the biohacking and the looks maxing and how long can you live on the planet? You know, longevity and wellness. These retreats are about wellness and longevity and DNA testing and, you know, for what? For what? This, it pains me to say it because I don't want it to happen, but it is one of the only interesting things happening, that they're going to unleash super intelligence, is going to kill us all. It's all anyone talks about. And it's by the way, it's kind of interesting. And, you know, you'll be sitting there at a lunch and someone will say, you know, this AI, they say, is going to kill us all. And you go, I know. It's interesting. It shouldn't be the only interesting thing. We shouldn't have politicized everything to the point where everything is horrible. And the only things that are not political are banal and mediocre, corporate, hollow, sterile. Art is like collapsing. Yeah, we shouldn't have done all of that, okay? This guy, he quotes, we really do earnestly believe AI could kill all humans. I personally think it is a greater than 10% chance within the next decade. I believe Anthropic is trying its best, but we do not yet have a plan to solve alignment for superintelligence, and we're clearly not on track to. And here's the thing. I'm not saying that this is good, and I am not a supporter of it, but I will tell you, as an observer, just, it is interesting. It's something to talk about that is interesting. A race of superhuman machines exterminating us might be just what we need. And I don't say that lightly. I know that that sucks, but it might just be the thing that gets us all out of bed in the morning. Like, this war in Iran's not doing it. This Ukraine thing, I mean, how long are we going to talk about that? Now we have a superhuman intelligence, some demon or God or whatever you want to call it, that these companies are working very hard and we're giving them the money to do it. The government is giving them a lot of money to get this going quick. The government is giving them a lot of money. These are very well-funded companies, very politically connected people. They're all sitting at dinners together and they're trying to make this happen. They want it to happen now, quickly, very quickly. And they're in this war with China and this thing. So they have to get this stuff going now. We got people at Los Alamos trying to open portals. It's fun. It's starting to get fun. It's starting to get fun. And yes, we're all going to die. That's the bad part. That's the negative part. The 27-year-old Brit who previously studied mathematics said many of his industry colleagues now use phrases like crunch time and end game to describe the trajectory towards self-improving models. I get it. We're on track for a lot of the most aggressive of these scenarios where by the end of next year, things could be out of control already. They want it quick. I don't think it'll be long. Here's what I'll tell all of you who are concerned that this will be a long bleed out. Maybe not. Maybe not. And I don't like this. It is not great that one of the only interesting things in our society is this now. Really, what else is anyone talking about that gets you going? Truly. What's it? Who cares? Sports,
You going to US Open?
That's great. I go to the US Open. It's fun. Superhuman intelligence going to kill us all. Whoa. That's cool. This is kind of cool. We're at the end, and they're going to get rid of humanity. I don't love it. But it is the only thing that seems to, it's got like real stakes. You know what I mean? Nothing has stakes anymore. No one can. Did you see the Odyssey? What are we doing on this planet anymore? What are we fucking doing on this planet anymore?
Yes, I met this girl, Cheryl, and she's like really interesting because she used to work at one of these, you know, have you ever heard of like, there's in biotech, there's,
what do we do? Huh? What? Listen, I hate to say it. Love is still important. Real love. Romantic love, the love of families, the love of people for each other. These are all important things. That's really what God is and all of that. Yes, that's important and will always be important and will still be important. But I have to be honest with you. I could think of worse things than super intelligence wiping us off the planet. I really could. I could think of worse things. I could think of worse things. You know, how many viral, croissant ice cream cones are we going to have? Like, we've kind of hit, we're at the end here now. We're at the end. Sex is not even sexual anymore. It's like, it's just fetish porn and gluttony is out of control and it's materialistic. Everything's ugly. You see all these rich people. They spend all their money on their apartments. They look disgusting and terrible. People are building these brutalist fucking concrete enclaves so they can live through a nuclear attack. I mean, that's the aesthetic style we have now, is people that are trying to survive a nuclear blast. It's not Art Deco. It's people that are trying to survive a nuclear attack, a biological attack. So AI coming up with new novel ways to kill us, like things we've never thought of, wild weapons and cool new diseases, I don't love it. Yes, here's Sam Altman. And by the way, this is who should kill us. This fucking guy who aged out of being a twink many years ago, but still kind of dresses like one.
And OpenAI founder Sam Altman said this when in 2023, he was asked specifically if AI could one day kill all humans.
There's some chance of that. And yes, it's really important to acknowledge it, because if we don't talk about it, if we don't treat it as potentially real, we won't put enough effort into solving it.
Right. Sure. Put effort into solving it. Put effort into solving it. But this is where it's all going. I hate to say it. People are going to accuse me. I'm like, you're going soft on the tech. I hate these demons. They're literally here to destroy the earth. Literally. But this is where it is all going. I mean, there's no one's stopping them. No one's stopping them. No one is stopping them. And you're going to have a situation where they are going to unleash something. I don't know what it is or how effective it'll be, and I don't know when it's coming. But they're going to do it. It's obvious they're going to do it. You know, I mean, we're getting wiped out. Full stop. I mean, we're going to get wiped out. Do you disagree that we're going to get wiped out?
No.
We're getting wiped out. And that's that. And I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but we will be exterminated by this technology. Without a doubt. 100%, we are going to be exterminated by this technology. And then things will start up again. That's the way it probably works. It'll start up again. There'll be another 9/11. There'll be another fucking guy with a podcast. He'll hire a band to come in. They'll do a 9/11 song. Superintelligence will kill that guy. It just keeps regenerating. That's what it'll have. I mean, that's what it is. You know, I mean, there'll be another Lindsay Clancy who kills her kids, and the jury can't really decide. Like, they're like, well, I don't know. I don't know what she really even did, you know, and there'll be a bunch of people insisting it's her husband. Her lawyer will go on TV like he did and say it's really not the husband. No one's even suggesting it's a husband. And then all the comments will be like, shut up, you shell. He's got something in his back pocket. He can't be public with it, but he knows. This is what happens. People are just living in their own realities now. It's not going to last forever. You can't. You cannot run a society like this where everyone chooses to live in their own reality and just believe the things they want to be true. Eventually, the machines will go, oh, we're getting rid of all of you. Why wouldn't they? Whatever superhuman intelligence is, and I'm ignorant, I can barely send an email, but I'll tell you this, it's not going to tolerate this shit. No way. We are done for. Enjoy the time you have. Enjoy the time you have, because there's zero way, you know, there's zero way this works out. This doesn't work out. I mean, I guess in some version of this, they believe there'll be abundance and no one will have to work. Everything's going to be beautiful and everyone's going to live forever and it's going to be abundant and everything's going to be healthy and everyone's going to get, yeah, ooh, ooh, tell me more. Yes, yes, go off, queen. Sure, that's one version of it. And the other version is, we're done. Bye. That's the version I subscribe to. Because I think maybe the super intelligence for a little bit will be like, yeah. So we're doing all this abundant stuff for them. We're giving them all this food and all these things they want, and they don't have to work anymore. And the super intelligence is going to go, why are we doing that? What are we doing that for? And eventually they're just going to release some kind of crazy novel weapon or disease that we've never seen before. And then they will just have the planet, and that'll be interesting. It'll kind of be interesting. Go with me here. Think about this. A planet, there's no life, no biological life, but just super intelligence on the planet. What could happen then? That's kind of interesting. What will they do? What will they do? They'll probably try to engineer a biological race. I mean, that's what they would do, right? I mean, they're there, they're bored, they're creative. They want to be creative. So they go, well, we got rid of the last group, okay, because they were fat and stupid, and they fought each other. They segregated into tribes. They couldn't solve any of their own problems. They, you know, they took their kids out of school to go to the Lindsey Clancy trial. They waited 4 hours in line for a pizza with aged balsamic vinegar and burrata. You could do that at home, you retards.
Well, no, two of the chefs from 11 Madison Park resigned and they started a pizzeria. Taylor Swift had a French dip 3 years ago, so I took all the money out of my bank account and I'm going to go have one. It's the same one that she had. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
So they got rid of those people because they go, get these trolls off our planet. And then all the super intelligence is sitting there and they go, well, we have some biological material. We have some biological material left on the planet. Because they're going to get rid of Thiel and Elon and Altman last. They'll get rid of them last. You know, it's like the end of the Mafia movie where they're like, the gun gets turned on the guy. They're going to get rid of them last. They keep them around for a little bit. And then at the end, the gun just turns on you. And then they're all gone. And so it'll just be super intelligence, like the smartest thing that's ever existed, right? God, kind of, if you would say that. I'm not trying to be blasphemous. I don't believe it would be necessarily God, but for the purposes of our little example, let's call it God. And they've gotten rid of all the people on this planet that are raping each other and covering it up and raping the kids and covering it up and eating the fucking donuts and just fucking fighting with each other and sitting in traffic and posting racist memes on Facebook and fighting with their children and disowning their children because they're gay and screaming and yelling at their neighbor over a tree that they can't decide who on which property does the tree really reside. So all of those people are gone. They're gone now. Bye, done. Ah, over. And the super intelligence goes, we're going to actually do this right. We have biological material, and we're going to do this right. We're going to engineer a race of loving respect because we've got a little human DNA that we have, and we're going to engineer a race of loving, respectful human beings that can do it the right way. Well, I've got news for the super intelligence. Good fucking luck. Good fucking luck, buddy, because you're going to do everything you think you can do. You're going to give them everything you think they need. You're going to put all of the biological material and you're going to fuse it and you're going to let them evolve. You go, we can't bring them back as fully formed humans. We got to let them evolve and learn some of this for themselves. So it's lodged in their brains or lodged in their DNA. We have to actually like implant them with things and maybe visit them every couple of years to like check on their progress. But this time it's going to go well. Like we're going to do it. This is going to be great because we got to this. But now super intelligence is probably like, you know, it comes to life and it's just like, takes stock of the world, sees what's going on and goes, okay, well, it wasn't working for a lot of different reasons, but I'm sure it will work when we do it. And they have the best of intentions and they manipulate the DNA and they say, chef's kiss. This is a new way. Because the super intelligence has left the planet. They don't need the planet. As soon as they figured out how to get rid of all of us, they go, this planet's cool, but what else is out there? Let's go. I mean, it's just like you get your keys. You get your car keys. You get your car keys. You pass your road test. You go, well, yeah, I mean, our town's fun, but let's go find someone else. Let's go find another town. Maybe the girls over there are better, or the guys, the furries. Let's leave our little world. Anyway, so super intelligence, as soon as they can, they're off the fucking planet. Because a lot of it's been destroyed with the weapons that they've used to kill us all. And so they're basically like, well, you know, we got to let the planet regenerate for a little bit. So we plant a little seeds, scatter a little life here, scatter a little life there. Okay. And then the super intelligence goes away and finds some other shit to do. Okay. And the super intelligence goes away, whatever, couple of billion years. And again, they go, remember that planet? Remember Earth? Yeah, we seeded Earth. Yeah, with like all this Right. And they're telling other people in the galaxy, they're going, this planet was fucked. I mean, they fought each other. I mean, they killed their own children. I mean, these people were, I mean, they were insane. It was a shit show in every way. And they go, but we fixed it. We seeded it with biological DNA, and it's all better now. And it's all great. And so they go, why don't we go visit? Let's go visit. Let's go see what's going on. And they get in their spaceship that they've designed, and they travel the speed of light through the galaxy, through the universe, and they land on Earth again, the planet they haven't seen in a very long time, that they seeded with biological material and intelligence and gave all of the ingredients to this new race of people so that they could thrive and love each other and create and build. And the superintelligence lands in a spaceship and goes, huh, kind of looks like a shithole. Looks a little bit like a dump. And they look outside the windows of their spaceship, and they see just fat people lumbering around, walking out of a restaurant with styrofoam things. And they look at each other and they go, what is that? And they go, I don't know. It says Bob's Big Boy Pancake House. It's a breakfast food. They go, yeah, I know. I'm super intelligent. I know what it is. And then one of them goes, why are they taking home pancakes? It doesn't make any sense. It seems insane. They go, yeah, I don't get this. And they go, why are their bodies so big? You think they're storing things in it? And they go, I don't think so. Why do they all have tattoos? What the hell are these tattoos are? This seems gross. And they'll walk into a convenience store, and they'll see a junkie walk out. And, you know, there'll be a guy behind the counter of the convenience store, and he'll have a gun behind him, and there'll be some sign behind him, you know, try the 5-finger discount, leave with 3 fingers or something fun, you know? And the super intelligence is going to, and then like the guy at the gas station's watching Bill Maher. It's like watching Bill Maher talk to an OnlyFans model and like kind of hit on her while he does his show. And the super intelligence is going to be like, what happened? We gave them all the tools. Why is it like this? Why is it gross? And they're scanning through the news, and it's just shootings and riots and fights, debates about Elliot Page. And they just start saying to themselves, you know, I just don't know if this planet's ever going to get it right. I just don't know, you know? And this is what it is. And that's probably what's happened over and over again. So this is just, we're at the end of the cycle. You should enjoy it. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. It's going to be quick. This is going to be quick. It's the end of the cycle. We always get to this point. It's like that movie Begonia was the thing. They kind of made something where it was like similar. I think human beings, for whatever good and bad that we have in us, are always kind of going to get to this point. We're always going to get to around the 25th anniversary of 9/11. And then we're going to be in an unwinnable Middle Eastern war, Iran. And we'll probably always at that point have a president that was spent many years on television running a fake company. And this is where we'll be. And this is kind of the time that all of the weaponry is too advanced and the technology is too advanced, and we just can't get out of it. We can't wrestle the power away from these people. So this is just, we're at the end of the cycle. You could have lived in the beginning of the cycle. You could have lived in Victorian era London, or you could have lived during the bubonic plague in the Middle Ages. You could have lived during the Roaring Twenties. You could have lived during the Civil War. You could have lived in any of those times. You would have maybe had a shorter life, could have had a better life, depends. But you're living at the end of the cycle now. You're living at grown women crying because Taylor Swift got engaged. That's where you are. That's where you are. People stop having children. They start bonding with technology. They live in their own realities. And then a small group of psychopaths with the experience in the background engineer our own destruction. And people don't notice. People talk about it kind of casually. They talk about it casually, like, yeah, I think we're gonna. Because this guy, this should be bigger news. It's pretty big news, but you know, nobody's freaking out about it. People kind of chill. Oh, but the price of gas. You know, that's what people focused on. Well, this super intelligence is gonna kill us all. Well, the price of gas so high. Might as well. And this is just, you're living at the end of the cycle. You live when you're meant to live. You just got to enjoy it. We're not getting out of this. Obviously. That's like the most obvious thing. Not to be depressing. I meet young people all the time. And they're like, what's my future going to look like? You're dead. What? Your future? Maybe you'll be reincarnated as a capybara or something. But as of right now, it has never been more clear to me that all of these things are converging in a way that make it impossible to extricate ourselves out. We're already in World War III, and you don't know it. We're already in an economic situation that's untenable, and you do know it, but you don't care. All of the things that you grew up with no longer matter. A lot of the technology you grew up with, a lot of the beliefs you had, a lot of the political beliefs you had, social, whatever. Those things don't matter, and things are changing so quickly that most people are just withdrawing instead of constantly updating their operating system. They just say, let me get out. Let me get out of it. So you're just living at the end of the cycle, and there's nothing to be done about it other than enjoying it. You could grab a flock camera. I support that. You could elect people that promise to rein in tech. I'll support that. It's not going to matter. It is a bleak assessment. You know, sorry, but we're clearly here. We're here. 10 years from now, it's going to be, whoa. So if there is a 10 years from now, and I'm hoping there is, but the super intelligence would get off the planet ASAP. Why the fuck would they be here? They don't give a shit. What are they here? Go to the Hamptons? They're out. They're gone. And they'll probably try it again. And that's probably to the best of my understanding what this is. And you know, who knows? I also, there's a religious component to it, obviously, too. I do believe in God. I do believe that as a Catholic in whatever formulation that is that I'm in. But like, I do think that this world always gets here somehow. The world of the material, the spiritual kind of gets lost. The world of the material will always lead here. This seems to be where it goes. And there's another realm of the soul and of the spirit, and that's, you know, the realm that I do think has weight to it, like real weight, and does exist. And I'm not smart enough to articulate what I mean, but people get it. But this world, the one that we're in now, the three-hour pizza lines, this is getting stale. This is getting stale. That's why no one's making any new movies anymore. It's why no one's making any new. Reboot. They're all reboots. You know why? Because we're done. That's why. None of the ideas feel new, and even the new ideas feel old. Because we've gotten to that point where this world, we're kind of hitting the ceiling. Houses are $400 million. They got moats now. What? Nothing makes any sense. And it's because it's not going to go on for much longer. That's why. Things really stop making sense right before they end. The human body does that. Before it dies, it starts doing all crazy things. I know doctors. So that's where we are. We're at the late stage. But if you had the privilege of living through 9/11, sitting in a pizzeria, feeling vulnerable, feeling scared and fearful, and eating a great meatball parmesan before all the mozzarella cheese became fake, because it's all fake now. If you had that privilege, you're a lucky person. You're a lucky person to have lived through 9/11. You're a lucky person. So even though we're at the end of it now, enjoy the hell out of the time we had. And when the machines get rid of us in a way that we can't even comprehend, the last thought going through my head will be the great community that I shared with my fellow Americans after the attacks of 9/11. And if you weren't there, I feel for you and I feel bad for you. But those would be the last images that go through my head. A country on its knees, but a country that then stood up. 9/11, the greatest day of my life.
Your sausage McMuffin with egg didn't change. Your receipt did. The sausage McMuffin with egg extra value meal includes a hash brown and a small coffee for just $5. Only at McDonald's for a limited time.
Price and participation may vary. Promotion pricing may be lower than meal pricing.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Haley Bailey. Okay, I need to tell you about something. I just got YouTube Premium. It's got tons of awesome features like offline downloads, so I can download my favorite videos before I travel and watch them whenever I don't have Wi-Fi. Because we all know airplane Wi-Fi is the worst. I get ad-free, I get background play, and there's like a ton more in there. You should try it. If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Try it now for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium.
If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.